Open your Bibles, if you will, for just a little while to the book of Jonah. We're going to go to the third chapter, and we'll look at just a couple of things there. And I want to ask you questions. You see, most of my preaching is in question form, and every good question deserves an answer, does it not? And so if you know the answer to the question, you can just blurt it out. And if you do not blurt it out, I'll take it for granted you don't know the answer. So then I'll probably have to go over it again until you do get the answer. So here I want to ask you very, very plainly, could the crying out of your voice save this city? That's the question. It's up to people to use their voices for the Lord God of heaven. You do not have to be a preacher. You do not have to be a teacher. You don't have to have any special training. All you need to have to start with is the love of God in your heart. And you've got that, do you not? And so therefore, I'm looking at a congregation of people that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Is that right? Amen. And so as saved people, we can identify with what the Lord is talking about here, and we can very quickly affirm that God is still in the saving business, is He not? And being in the saving business, He is also in the recruiting business to get people to do what He's asked them to do. Brother Steve brought out in our Sunday school lesson a while ago that Israel did not do what God told them to do. But I believe that perhaps you that are sitting here this morning are willing, ready, and able to do what God has asked you to do. Is that right? I don't know of anybody here that cannot do something for the Lord God of heaven. Like they were talking about Brother and Sister Barnes this morning, being able to supply the things so that others could enjoy the services of God. That's what you and I do, is we assist the Lord in doing everything that we possibly can that people not might know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read a verse of Scripture and see if we can make any sense out of what God's talking about. Jonah 3 and verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." What we're looking at here is the very simple truth that God is trying to teach people, not about fish or about these things. He's trying to teach them that Jesus Christ is going to come, be crucified, be buried, and raise again the third day. That's what the book of Jonah is trying to teach us, is that people need to have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on their hearts and their minds so that they will be able to say the preaching of Jonah, the teaching of Jonah, the message of Jonah is what saved the entire city of Nineveh. They tell me, I really don't know, it's just hearsay, but I have been told that Nineveh was about 100,000 people. That's a little bit more than the Muldrow area, isn't it? Just a few more. But sinners are sinners, are they not? Do you know of anybody in your area who deserves to go to hell? So what a tragedy it would be if all of these voices that are sitting here kept silent and your neighbors died without Jesus. you guys can make a real racket, you know. I've heard you sing. Some of you try to do like the little girl that just finished singing and sing real pretty, but most of you don't. But whenever it comes to bellering, man, you can get it done. We need to have that attitude toward sending the gospel to our area. People need Jesus. Amen. Now let's look at this for just a little bit and see what God is trying to teach us in this. First of all, you've got a backslidden preacher, and all of you can look at your pastor and know he's backslid about 90% of the time. You can look at Brother Conley, you know that he's backslidden. I mean, it's just evident that some people are not quite what they ought to be. But then I want you to realize they've got two eyes as well, and they're looking at you, and they can see you just as good as you can see them. So what we need to do, instead of running one another down, we need to build each other up upon the precious prayer that God has given us, that we might let people know that people need Jesus more than anything else in this world, and the one that's going to tell them is you. Why? Because the Lord says that His people shall carry His word. He did not leave the spreading of the gospel up to a bunch of preachers. And so therefore, every member of this church, every one of you that are visiting here today, do you know what? You have become obligated yourself to give the word. Revelation 22 and 17, you just go through the list of everybody that is to be given the word to somebody else, and you're included. It makes no difference who you are. God's word is for each and everyone. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 3 and look at the wording that is there. This is the second time that the Lord has come unto Jonah. Go back to the first chapter, the first verse, and you'll find the first time that the word came to Jonah. Thank God that He doesn't give up on you and me. Amen. After the first time. Amen. You do realize He is not obligated, don't you? Amen. So why does He bother with Jonah after He has told him what He wanted him to do? Why does He bother with him? As the majority of you know, I come from a family of 13 kids, and I'm number 12 of the bunch. And my dad, he was like the Lord in our family. He spoke, and he expected it to be done. Now, Mom was a different story. We thought we could get by with about everything, and she'd give us two or three chances. But Dad, he'd just say, boys, I mean, that was it. We knew better than to even try his patience for one more minute. It was time to get on the stick and do what he says. But God, in his love and his mercy and his compassion and his grace toward you, he's asked you to do things, hadn't he? Go ahead and admit it. He's already asked you to do this. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands and say whether or not you did it. But he told Jonah what he wanted him to do. And Jonah had different plans. Now Crawfords, they've got plans of their own. I have a brother that's probably going to make you mad, because he's going to continually want Brother Conley to come and be with him, don't you see? You're trying to get something out of Brother Conley, and my brother, he's going to continually try to get him on the golf course or something like that. We've got our own agenda for things. But God's got one plan, and that plan is that you carry the gospel. Amen. That you be the mouthpiece for the Lord God of heaven. You say, preacher, I don't know what to say. You can give them your personal testimony. There's nothing greater. The Apostle Paul, every time that he got in trouble, he didn't try to preach him a big sermon. He just rehearsed over and over his testimony and said, this is what happened to me. Folks, every one of us can do that, can't we? We can tell people, this is what Jesus has done for me. So here, the first time the Lord came unto Jonah, and he said, Jonah, I've got a job for you. Go do the job. And Jonah, he said, nope, not going to do it. And he went his own way, done his own thing. And the Lord says, I'm going to have to shake his tree just a little bit. He don't quite understand. Some people are hard-headed, and you've got to get their attention a little bit more. And some of you have had two befores used on you, haven't you? I had one child I could speak to, and it would just, it'd terrify her. I mean, she'd just break down and bawl for an hour. And the boy, he was so hard-headed, it took a club or a two before or something else to get through to him. Then finally, oh, yeah, that's what you wanted. Why didn't you say so? That may be the way it is with you. God wants to tell you something, but sometimes a parent gets rough. Now think about it for just a minute. God never whips another person's children. And so if you've never had the chastening of the Lord, it's simply because you don't belong to Him. I've never whooped any of my neighbor's kids. Don't intend to. But then let me give you another fact that you may not know. Did you know that God does not have any grandchildren? Think about it. Oh, He's got children. But He loves His children too much to allow them to continually go their own way. He will discipline His children. He don't like unruly children. He loves them, but He don't like them. I love my children, but whenever they were disobedient, I loved them, but I didn't like what they was doing. And so therefore I would chasten them in order to get their attention to do what needed to be done. Folk, listen, this community needs Jesus. The state of Oklahoma needs Jesus. I guarantee you the state of Texas needs Jesus. I told you the other night whenever I was here that it is against the law to do door-to-door visitation in my area. I'd been stopped twice by policemen and telling me, no, you can't do that. You see, somebody in the community where I live, they are spies, and whenever I'd start out on visitation, they'd call the cops and they'd get me real quick. Well, they don't want the name of Jesus spread. But you and I know that it is in His name that people can be born again, that people can be saved. And so you and I, we must make sure that we do like Jonah did and finally get around to the point and say, yay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. The Lord had to give him an underwater taxi cab ride in order to get him to the place to do His work. I don't know what He'll do with you, but He will get you where He needs you. Do y'all believe that? Amen. He'll get you to the place to where you then can do what He says to do. Don't you know Jonah was a nasty mess? Whenever he come out of the belly of that fish, had that old slimy junk all over him, had them seaweeds and things wrapped around his head and all that kind of stuff. He dusted the dirt and the sand off of his breeches, and he began to preach, forget about what you look like and think about the message you've got to deliver. And that's what Jonah did, and that's what you and I need to do, is put all of this other stuff aside and tell people about the Lord. The greatest need that I know is not having more Republicans or more Democrats or more socialists, but more children of God that'll speak up. Now, God gave him a commission. And the commission was simple. God doesn't have very many complicated plans. He just simplifies it because He knew that one day He'd have to explain it to me. And so the Lord says, go tell them. That's not very complicated, is it? And so the commission just simply says, go tell them. He didn't say, go tell the white, the black, the red, the yellow, or whatever color they might be. Go tell them. That includes the person who lives next to you. That includes the person who lives down the street from you. It does not make any difference whether they speak Italian or whatever other language there is. They need to hear about Jesus. And so therefore Jonah, he dusted himself off and he took off telling them about the Word of God. Now, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a commission. And this church's commission is not any more complicated than the commission that was given unto Jonah. The Lord says, now Jonah, here's a city of about 100,000 folks here. Would you pick out which ones need the gospel? The Lord didn't say that. The Lord just figured they all needed it. Now, whenever we would go on visitation around here, I had a couple of people tell me, well, you know, there's no sense knocking on that door. They're members of whatever church down the street. Big deal. They still need the word, do they not? We saw people that were church members saved, right? And so therefore, don't pick and choose who you take the word to. Take the word like Jesus said to do and be like Jonah. And he says a day's journey he began to enter into the city and he began to preach, he began to proclaim, he began to propagate the word of God so that everybody might be born again. And people, they surprised Jonah so much it made him mad. Think about it. You get things in your head and you say, well, they ain't going to listen to me. I ain't going. How do you know they won't listen to you? You see, the Lord went to Nineveh before Jonah did. People cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. Is that right? It's impossible. So therefore, the Lord had to have been there before Jonah working on the heart. Perhaps. I remember one time we went to the Fisher edition over here and I knocked on a door and a very angry lady come to the door and she said, my Lord, Brother Crawford, why don't you people leave me alone? There have been four other people from your church come over here today. We don't want to go to your church. And I said, yeah, but you do know we want you, don't it? Folk, it doesn't make any difference how much irritation we cause. We need to make sure that people know that we love them for the cause of Christ. Make sure that you are the one that are using your voices for the Lord God of heaven, doing what He would have you to do. We talk a lot about the Great Commission, but the greatest thing about it is that you accept it. No one could go where Jonah was to go. God didn't say for Peter, James, John, or any of them to go there. He just talked to one person and laid it on that one person's heart. And then God gives the increase. You see, the commission was like this. You go give them my word. He didn't exactly do it with a joyful heart, did he? He just wasn't really pleased about the ethnic group that he had to talk to. You do realize Jonah was a bigot, don't you? That's right. He said, I'm a Jew. I don't want nothing to do with them stinking Gentiles. How many Jews we got in here? So which category did that put you in? You'd have been the one that they were calling the stinking Gentile. Folks, listen, we dare not get the same attitude that Jonah had and say we don't care what happens to them. Let God get a hold of us and then go and do what God asks us to do and be the kind of people that can bring honor and glory unto God. Turn your Bibles, if you will, back to the third chapter and verse 2. And listen to his command one more time before we even go any further. Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You say, preacher, that's the simplest verse in the Bible. No, it's not. It is being totally ignored today. People have decided that I'll do it my way. God doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to come up with a whole brand new Bible. I'm going to come up with a whole new philosophy. And I'm going to make it a feel-good religion so that everybody is just happy as a lark. Folks, listen, you won't find anywhere in God's Word where he says that you've got to be happy to come and serve him. What we need to be is dedicated. We talk a lot about service, but then we don't teach a lot about what service is about or how to serve. Folks, listen, there's a lot that is being overlooked in our pulpits today because people are leaving out that the commission was given that people would go where God said to go, how he said to go, with the particular message that he said to go with. We need to preach that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And then we need to preach that his New Testament churches are the only ones on this planet that have the authority to administer scriptural baptism under the sun. I don't care what their name is. They must be authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, comes down to your ability. You've got it. I don't care who you are. You've got the ability. Why? Because we never go in our name. We never go with our intellect. We never go with the training that we've had. We go with a heart full of love for people that don't love you, that does not love Jesus, but that Jesus loves them. You see, that's the picture that he's trying to give unto each and every one of us here, that we might know what it's all about. That these are the words of Jesus. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. That's just pretty simple, isn't it? And so therefore, the questions that arise are just simply, let's see what God can do. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the third chapter of Jonah and look at verse number 5. There's got to be results. And God's the only one that can give the results. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Hold it right there. I thought Jonah done the preaching. Whenever you go out into the community, you will fail if you're trying to get people to believe you. Amen. Our goal, our privilege, is to give them the Word of God that they can believe God. And once a person believes God, then God can do something with them. Let's read a little further. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. I wonder who these great and small are. Let's just take a little test. Who are the greatest people in America? Don't blurt out the answer. Just think about it for a minute. The greatest people in America. If you said Hillary or what's the other guy? Trump, you blew it. If you even name the congressmen, the senators, and so forth, you blew it. But as far as God's concerned, a person that holds a position of membership in one of the Lord's New Testament churches is the greatest person in America. And then if you're privileged to be a Sunday school teacher, if you're privileged to be a song leader or an usher or someone that takes care of the kitchen or cleans the toilet, you rank right up above everything there is in America as far as God's concerned, because nobody else in the world can claim that this organization, this church, this New Testament church is the very institution that the Lord shed His precious blood for. He didn't shed it for the congressmen or the senators or the presidents or the queens or any of them, but that lost souls would be saved and that the saved come and unite with His people in New Testament church capacity. And He said that you are His mouthpiece to a lost and dying world. So greatness comes because God was heard. He was heard by whose voice? In this instance, it was Jonah. In the instance tomorrow, it might be your voice. I wonder, all of you have heard that song about the person that dreamed that he died and he went to heaven. And there was a whole line of people there that was saying, "Thank you for giving me the word." And many, many were saved because of the testimony of this one person. Folk, don't you know that the greatest honor and the greatest privilege that any church member has is just simply to share the gospel with somebody else? Just simply tell them about Jesus, that they might know that you and I are what God has given His word for. I have given them Thy word. And we dare not hide it in our hearts. Get it in our hearts so that we might give it out to a lost and dying world. And so now Nineveh has received the gospel. Now Nineveh has a whole population of children of God. What happened to them? A lot of people, they just say, well, Nineveh was destroyed. But it was 100 years later that they were destroyed. But that generation, where are they now? You realize they are part of my brothers and sisters that are already with the Lord? Do you realize that many of the membership of this church have already gone on to be with the Lord? Do you realize that one of these days we're going to have a family reunion that won't quit, and many of our loved ones, our relatives, are going to be some of those Ninevites that Jonah preached to? But wait just a minute before I close. Nineveh was destroyed. How can that happen? How can that be? Somebody shut their mouth. Somebody quit bragging on Jesus. Somebody said, well, everybody around me is saved, I'm not going to say a thing. And so people got in the habit of not saying a thing. And then there was babies born. Don't you love looking at all these babies around here? But if you neglect to give them the same teaching that you received, what's going to happen to them? And pretty soon Nineveh forgot the message. somehow or another, people just neglected. They don't want anybody to go to hell. They just neglected to get involved in spreading the news. And God says, I can't stand it anymore. And Nineveh was destroyed. So let me just ask you, is there anybody in this area that you have not talked to about Jesus? No, wait a minute. I thought I heard somebody say, well, that's the preacher. He'll do that. No, he won't. I found in my short 50 years in the ministry that there's a lot of people will not listen to the preacher, but they'll listen to you. And so therefore, the commission goes out like this. Take my word, go, and I'll bless it. I want to turn the services over to your pastor. Let him close any way that he deems fit. But folk, I want you to understand, it's your message to give to this community about a risen Savior. And he's there on the throne making intercession for you and for me. Brother Isaac.
Let's stand. Our ushers come. Our musicians come. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word today. Listen, we have a town full of people who, if they died right now today, would face the wrath of Almighty God. Listen, Jonah had a message from God. He knew exactly when God's wrath was going to come, but we don't know. We don't know when somebody's last breath will be taken. We don't know when they'll cross over into eternity. But listen to me. There are people who you live next door to. There are people that you work with, people you go to school with, who when they take their last breath, they will open their eyes in torment being in hell. And we need to have enough compassion to go to them and give them a warning. We need to reason with them about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. We need to tell them that Jesus is the only way for them to be saved. Amen. Maybe God's put somebody in particular on your heart today. Somebody you know that doesn't know the Lord. Would you come and pray for that one today? Listen, Jesus said to pray for laborers that would enter into the harvest. Maybe today you just want to come and ask God, help me to be a laborer. Help me to share the gospel. Help others to come and share the gospel. But I want to say this. There might be somebody here today that you personally don't know the Lord. There's never been a moment in your life where you turned from your sin, you repented, and you turned to God and put all your faith and trust in Christ alone. If you've never been saved, we want to invite you to come and trust in Jesus today. If he's convicting your heart, we want you to come right now. While we sing, what number?
Page 573.
Number 573. You want to be a better witness for Jesus. You got somebody you need to be a witness to. You just want to ask the Lord to help you to be obedient. He's called you before. Maybe not just the first time the word of the Lord's come to you, but the second and the third and the fourth time. He said, go and preach the gospel. Go and share the gospel. Go and proclaim me to your friends and your neighbors and to the whole world. And again and again and again, he's called you and you've still been disobedient. Today, you need to make a commitment. Lord, help me. By your grace, I'll be a witness for you. Will you come right now?